All right. Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion and we'll... We actually celebrate the Lord's death when we do this. Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. And the way we do this is to look at this bread and see Jesus in this and see what he did for us in this and receive from him. This bread is made without yeast. That means Jesus' body was completely without sin. That's good news because he took our place so that we could take his. This bread has stripes in it, and it's by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus shed his blood, we got some kind of redemption in some area. If you ever get a chance to go to a Catholic church, if they have the Stations of the Cross on that wall, go there on purpose and look at the Stations of the Cross, start at one and go through there. They name each place that Jesus shed his blood, and we get redemption in that area. Amen. So many areas that he shed his blood that we get new freedom from. And this bread has been slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. The wrath that was meant for us, Jesus took, so that we could take the blessing that he deserved. He took the punishment we deserved so that we can have the blessing he deserved. And his body was broken. All this was for our healing and for our well-being, our health. We thank you for it. Jesus' blood was shed all over the place. Not only did his blood wash away our sins, but his blood protects us, his blood redeems us, his blood seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of his blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means we're in right standing with God, as if nothing ever happened. Now, because of the blood of Jesus, we can go boldly into God's presence and ask him for help and grace in times of need. We thank you for this. All right, open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 13, verse 6. Are you ready? Okay, you can go. Open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 13, verse 6, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. So now we know that we can open up your word and we can learn from Jesus and we can know more who he is so we can know him better. Not just know about him, but we can know him as our personal Savior. Not just as our Savior, but as our blesser, as our provider, as everything we need, as everything we are is wrapped up in him. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes people have a hard time seeing God as a bountiful blesser. Sometimes people, I hear it all the time, you know, people will say, well, he doesn't owe me anything. That's right, he doesn't owe you anything, but he's already given it to you. You just as well receive it. So, well, he'll provide for my needs. I know he'll provide for your needs, but he'll provide for your everything. He's a bountiful blesser. And you actually bring joy to his heart when you receive from him, when you go to him as your father, not only as your father, but as your creator. You know, the one that created you is the one that will provide for you. That's providence. He's our loving father. And he has great joy in giving to you, in providing for you, in blessing you, pouring out the blessing on you. If you'll just open up and receive it, if you'll just open up and receive it, you'll find blessings around every corner. And then sometimes the blessings will just hit you in the back of the head. He's out to bless you. Amen. And guess what? You can't earn them. You can't earn them. You can only receive them. Amen. You'll frustrate the grace of God by trying to earn something that he's already given you. So let's look at Psalm chapter 13, verse 6. It says, I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You know, too many times we just don't realize how blessed we really are. You know, sometimes we get caught up in looking at our bank account. We look at the pile of bills that we have. We look at the mortgage. We look at the debt that we have. We look at the challenges that we have. You know, we look at what we want to accomplish and look at all these things. You're just looking at the wind and the waves. And you'll find yourself sinking in a sea of depression, really, when you should be looking at Jesus. You know, we're not supposed to be looking at the storms. We're supposed to look at Jesus. You know, when Peter jumped out of the boat, he was walking on water. He was walking on water. Too many people like to focus on the fact that he sunk. But he was walking on water. As long as he was looking at Jesus, he walked on water. And he got in trouble. He started looking at the wind and the waves, started looking at the problems and the challenges, and he started sinking. Well, we do that all the time. You know, if we get our eyes off of Jesus, it's easy to get caught up in the depression. It's easy to get caught up in the panic. It's easy to get caught up in all the turmoil, all the drama. Have you noticed that this world is full of drama? Full of turmoil? Full of superstition? Amen? Too many people get to looking for the demons instead of the deity. And you need to just stop and refocus. Get your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says in the book of John, says, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him and called him Jesus. If you got your eyes on the Word, you've got your eyes on Jesus. He is the Word. He is the Word. So how many people expect God to be bountiful towards you? We're supposed to be expectant of him pouring his blessings out on us. Not because we have earned it or deserve it. You know, we deserve the cross. Just in case you're wondering, we really do deserve the cross. But because Jesus took our place on the cross, we get what he deserved. Amen. When you receive a strong revelation of the cross, you will receive an overabundance from Jesus. It's important to cast our eyes upon Jesus. Cast our eyes upon Him and His work on the cross. See what He did for you on that cross. Every step of the way in His death, burial, and resurrection, everything He did for us. And everything He did, He got freedom for us. Amen. That's why we need to stand fast in the liberty that He has put us in. The minute you get born again, you fall heir to a big inheritance. Now, there's too many people that are not taking advantage of what Jesus has given us, what God has freely given us with Christ Jesus. He's given us all things. You know what that means? He's given you a blank check. He signed that blank check and He said, "Here, my child, I want you to fill this in." Sometimes people, out of misunderstanding and a false sense of trying to be humble, fill it in for $5. You know, or they'll say, "I just want enough for me and mine so I can pay the bills and have enough to eat." That's being selfish. Did you know that? He wants you to be like the tree that's planted by rivers of living water that produces so much that there's enough to give away. Amen. He wants you to be able to give, but you have to first receive. Fill that check in for millions, man. I'm serious. Take full advantage of the grace of God. Now, I'm not saying that you go out there and be an idiot and live like a drunken sailor. But I'm saying, because you don't deserve the blessing, lean on the grace of God and receive the blessing. Amen? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Through the knowledge of Him. Did you know, the more we learn of Jesus, the more we know Him. And the more we know Him, the more we will receive from Him. Notice verse 2 talks about grace. It's not works. It's going to be by grace. You're not going to earn it. It's going to be by His grace. And in verse 3 it says, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Absolutely everything that pertains to life and godliness, we're going to receive it from Him. The more we know of Him, now this is important now. A lot of people get confused about this. They start focusing on the blessing and they start reaching for the blessing. And I'm telling you to stop. Focus on the blesser and go for the blesser. The blessing's there. The blessing is in the blesser. Amen? Well, sometimes people get sidetracked and they start striving for the blessing and they get so focused on the blessing that you can actually get, you know, you can get was that a heavenly moment? Did we go Pentecostal all of a sudden? I was just about ready to make a point. We get so focused. Sometimes people will get so focused on the blessing that they can actually get taken. You know, there's such a thing called pulpiteers behind the pulpit. And sometimes they'll get people so emotionally aroused. They're talking about the blessing, talking about money. They'll get them so excited and so up. And they'll be so focused on the money and so focused on the money. And then they'll give more and they'll give more and they'll give more, trying to receive more, trying to receive more, and they got it just backwards. When you're supposed to receive, receive, receive so that you can give. Amen? Abraham received before he gave. Did you know that? Abraham was a mighty wealthy man before he ran into Melchizedek. He was a very wealthy man before he ran into Melchizedek. And then he gave. Too many times it gets preached backwards. It says, well, Abraham gave tithes right here, so you give these tithes and God's going to bless you, bless you, bless you. Did you know God will be a debtor to no man? Abraham first received, and when he received, he gave. Amen? Now, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus gave us a good insight on how we should live. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And here's a cool thing about tithing. It's an important thing. Giving is an important thing. And I know it works. I operated in it a lot, but I got it backwards. See, I got to tithing and I got a hold of this thing. I was tithing and I was giving, and the more I learned about it, the more messed up I got in the head about it. And pretty soon it was like something was wrong, and I knew it in my heart, and I couldn't quite put a placement on it. But the more I learned about tithing, the more things I listened to, the more preachers I listened to, the harder and harder and harder and harder it got. Pretty soon it got to the point where I heard a guy preaching one time, and he said, you know, you got to take that tithe money the minute you cash your check and separate it. Don't let it touch your money. Your money's dirty. And I'm thinking, man. So I'm separating this and I'm putting it all on the side, and I couldn't put it in the same bank account, and I was scratching my head and I was getting more and more frustrated. And finally I said, stop! This is not right. This is a heavy burden. What was going on? I picked up on this thing where I was shoving this money into the plate, thinking that's why God was going to bless me, instead of God blessed me so I can shove money into the plate. Amen? He blessed us because of Jesus. We got to keep it in the grace side of things. Amen? We want to make sure that we go after the blesser, not the blessing. If you find yourself frustrated, if you find yourself tired and overworked on this thing, stop. Stop. You're chasing the blessing instead of the blesser. Go to the blesser and find rest under your souls. Learn of him. He's the blesser. He wants to take care of you. Look at Psalm chapter 23, verse 1. This is a cool psalm. This is one of the first ones I remember learning. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's good news. Just the fact that you got born again, Jesus became your shepherd. Amen. He does not want you to be in lack. But you're going to have to receive from him. Amen. That's one of the hardest things, it seems like, for people to understand. You have to receive. You have to receive from him. One thing that you'll have to do is get your pride out of the way. Because sometimes he'll use people to bless you with. Amen. One thing my wife and I used to do, there was a little lady that we went to church with, and her ankles were always swollen, and she always had to wear these ace bandages on her ankles, and she is so faithful. She'd come to church every Saturday night. We had church on Saturday night, and her daughter was retarded, and she'd bring her with her, and she had had a terrible, abusive life, and she'd come and visit with us all the time, and we'd talk to her, and we made it a point where we'd go buy a little $50 gift cards so that she could go shopping and stuff. And she had a really hard life, but she believed God. Well, one day she called me. We were living down here by then. One day she called me and she said, I heard you're building a parsonage. I said, yep. I said, well, I fell into some money and I want to bless you. So she sent us something like $3,500. You know, that pulls on your heart. That would make some people say, you had such a hard life. You just keep the money. Now that's her seed that she was sowing. And she sowed it into this ministry. And she's been blessed beyond measure. Amen. You got to take your pride out of the way. And understand that God will use whoever he wants to bless you. Amen. It's not a small, insignificant thing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. Green pastures is significant of being well fed. Still waters is peace to your soul. It's calm. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, you're not camping out in the valley of death. You're going through there. There we're going to go through troubled times. You know, we're going through troubled times right now. But you're not to be afraid of what's going on. You're not to be worried about tomorrow. He's your shepherd. I run into people all the time that are buying survival food. They've been doing it for years. And they think Armageddon is going to happen at the election. No, it's not. There may be some troubled times, but that's not the end of the world. Amen? You got to get your heads right about this now. There's a lot of rumors flying around the world right now and you got to just stop and rightfully divide the word of truth. The devil cannot get away with everything he wants to do because the church is in his way. Amen? There's too many people down here praying. He can't get away with all he wants to do. But here's the cool part. Verse 5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He is pouring out his blessings even in the midst of troubled times. Everybody can be against you, and he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That's for right here and now. I know they like to read this at every funeral you go to, but this is for right here and now. This is for today. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. There are no enemies in heaven. This is for now. He's taking care of us. He's our good shepherd. And he wants to pour out the blessing on you in such a way that people take notice of it. Sometimes them blessings overtake you. John 10:10 says, "A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's the God kind of life in you. You know, that abundant life, that more than enough in you. Too much healing, too much health, too much provision. You know, money is part of it. I know sometimes people don't like to hear about it, but he's made you rich. He's made you rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. "As for I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be made rich." You know, your financial blessing is at the cross. It's met at the cross. You get a revelation of the cross, you're going to get a new revelation of your finances. Amen. You get a revelation of the cross, you're going to get a new revelation of your health. You get a revelation of the cross, you're going to get a new revelation of your salvation. It's got to be preached. Salvation has got to be preached, not just born again. You got to preach the full salvation, the full gospel, so people can get the full Jesus. Amen? Look at Psalms chapter 103. How are we going to do this? This is the directions right here. Psalms 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." That psalmist was in a cave. We've all been in a cave at some point in our life. How you behave in a cave is how well you're going to do when you come out of that cave. Now you can roll up and play possum and you can pout and you can cry and you can whine and worry. I got news for you, honey. The devil's not going to go anywhere. He's going to stay right there, gum on your ear. He's been defanged. Jesus defanged him. He has no teeth to hurt you with. But people like to play possum. They like to curl up and give up and say, "Well, it's just too hard. God doesn't hear my prayers." That's just not true. They've been listening to the devil and not God. God hears your prayers. And he's concerned with every little tiny thing in your life. Every little tiny thing in your life. If it's important to you, it's important to him. Got to get a hold of that. Every little thing that concerns you concerns him. But what this psalmist was doing was meditating on God's word. He was reminding himself of the goodness of God. Well, look at what he told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. What God told Joshua right when he was about ready to he's going to take the ministry of Moses over, and he's going to take children over into the promised land. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written, for then thou shalt make that way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest." Meditate on his word. Find his promises in there and meditate on them. Walk around talking to yourself about this word, repeating it over and over and over and over again. And then you want to know how to receive that word? Well, we walk around meditating, saying, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So then we do that, we get it confirmed in our hearts. Then you know how you receive it? Say, "Thank you, Father. You shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. That's how you receive his word. Meditate on it until it gets strong in there, and then receive it by saying, "Thank you." Amen. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Circle that. God calls things that be not as though they were. That's what we're supposed to do. Instead of running around saying, "I'm so broke, I can't pay attention," run around saying, "My God has already supplied all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen? Instead of running around saying, "I'm so sick and tired, I just can't even hardly get up and go to work anymore." Stop it. Say, "I walk around and my youth is renewed like the eagles. By his stripes I was healed. I am strong. I'm ready to roll." Verse 18, this is Abraham. He hoped against hope, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, "So shall thy seed be." He was 100 years old, and his wife was barren. And she had never had a baby. But he had the hope. He had to believe in hope. "Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." What happened? He had to stop looking at the wind and the waves. He couldn't look at the circumstances anymore. For him to receive this child, he could not look at the natural circumstances anymore. He couldn't look at what had always been. He couldn't let his past define his future. He had to let the Word of God define his future. He had to meditate on God's word. Did you know Abraham? Even Abraham had to meditate on God's word. Well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. Yeah, it does. God changed Abram to Abraham. Abraham means the father of many nations. God changed his name. Abraham had to run around telling everybody, "Hi, I'm the father of many nations." Where's them kids at? You're the father of many nations. Where are those kids at? I've already received them in the spirit. They're mine. He couldn't be shaken by the natural circumstances. He had to hope. He had to stand strong in faith. Get back over here. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham meditated on God's word until he was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he would do. And then Isaac happened. Amen. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This will be our last one. We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. It says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God for the administration of this service, not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed objection unto the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer, for which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's the King James. That's kind of weird to read sometimes. They're cool. If you ever get a chance to get a Message Bible, get it. It says, God can pour out the blessing in astonishing ways, so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist put it, he throws cautions to the wind, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living and right giving ways never run out. They never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away. He's out to bless you. You should look at yourself as a blessing looking for a place to happen, because Jesus is on the inside of you. Amen. You should look at yourself as someone who's going to receive a blessing every time he turns around. It's kind of crazy when somebody gets stolen away from their family and they get thrown into a well and then they get sold into slavery and they end up naked and destitute, away from their family, in jail, sold into slavery, but yet they consider themselves a prosperous, successful man because God was with them. He was in a cave. He was in a cave. You know, one time, Paul and his buddy, they got beaten bad. Got many lashes laid upon them. And they got thrown in jail. And they had shackles on their ankles. They were in a pinch. They were in a bind. They're in a cave. But they prayed and they praised God. They praised God so loud the other prisoners heard them. And then they were set free. And then they preached the gospel. How are you going to behave in a cave? You know, sometimes people just don't realize how important it is to take action. You know, they say, well, I went to school to be this, or I've been trained to be that, and I just can't find anything to do in this place. I can't find a job. Go find something. Go set your hand to something. Amen? Sometimes we have to smash pride. I remember one of my first assignments after I got out of Bible school. You know, we kind of left there thinking, you know, we should go preach. We should be evangelists preaching at rodeos. We should be pastors somewhere in a big church. My first assignment was helping this old prophet. And I'd have to take him to the bathroom. That was my job. Take him to the bathroom. He couldn't get there by himself and get out. That was my job. Well, okay. I guess I'm not going to be a rodeo evangelist. Yeah, maybe I'm not going to even be a pastor. I'm just going to be a servant. I don't know. So I helped him. You know, and then it kind of fizzled, you know, and go preach at one place here and one place there. And I thought, wow, I don't know what's going to happen. Did I make a mistake? Maybe I wasn't called to go to Bible school. I don't know. I thought, you know what? I went home and I said, God, I'll tell you what. I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to work until you tell me to go somewhere. When you tell me to go somewhere, I'll go. Till then, I'll just be right here. You know where to find me. So one day he said, go to Wyoming. Packed the little woman up and we went to Wyoming. And then just she ran into somebody she was visiting with and they said they needed a pastor. So I went, was an interim pastor. And that dried up. And I said, well, God, when you need me, you know where to find me. I'll be right here working. You know, not in the trade of my choice, but I'll be working. I'll be doing something. So then he called me up one day and said, let's go. So we went to Texas. You see how that goes? Just be willing to do something until God gets his little deal set up for you. And he's working on it. Just don't starve yourself to death before he gets a chance to get you there. Amen. The blessing's there for you. Cast your eyes upon Jesus and receive of it. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection, and all the multiplied blessings that you have poured out on us, even the ones that we haven't even figured out how to receive yet. We're open to receive them. Father, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. that Jesus, our high priest, at the right hand of God, is taking our prayers and making them perfect to present to you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a lot of food and fellowship back here, and everybody's welcome to come back and have some.